Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Mestamach v'ozlo Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Akasve Rav Smloi Shamei. Rabbi Yehuda, the Nasi, was walking, leaning against the shoulder of his assistant, Rav Smloi. Interestingly, the Paiskim used this Gemara to discuss the question if one may use a Talmud Chacham, may have service from a Talmud Chacham. And many Paiskim say, based on our Gemara, that we see that you may, even though the halacha is that you may not. How do we reconcile this? So one pshat I saw is, when the halacha is that one is not allowed to be serviced by a Talmud Chacham, it means specifically in a situation where it's at a work which is a degrading job. You being leaned upon is obviously not considered degrading, and that's why it was permitted. But another interesting heter that I saw is that if while one is leaning or using the Talmud Chacham, Rav Smloi clearly being a Talmud Chacham, as we'll see in our Gemara in a moment, he was discussing halachas with him, if it's happening while one is talking and learning, then it's permitted. And that's why, as they were walking together, and talking and learning, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was allowed to rest himself on Rav Smloi. Amaloi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said to Samloi, Lo yisa emes bebeis medrash kishitarnu as a shemen. Were you not, why you yesterday weren't in beis medrash when we were matter, when we permitted the use of the oil of the Akam? Some Rishonim explain that actually Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the grandson of the original Rabbi Yehuda, and he was the one that brought in the heter of using the oil of Akam. Other Mefarshim explain that actually it was Rabbi Yehuda, his grandfather, Rabbi Akadosh, who was the first one that tried to bring this heter, but was unsuccessful. But his grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, was successful. You weren't in the Besmerish when we allowed oil. Amalai, so Rav Smloi said to him, B'yameinu tater afas apas. You should also be matter pasakum. You should also allow the bread of Akum. And Tosis, based on this Gemara, says, as we learned Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, that from here we see that Pas Akum was also considered less severe than other Isurim, and it was a Gzeirish and Roy Batsibi Chayim Lamaboy. It was a Gzeirish that most people could not follow. It was a Gzeirish, Tosfos says, that wasn't accepted by all communities. And therefore, says Tosfos, we could be makel on Pas Akum. The Rosh, in fact, says that there were communities that did accept the Isser Pas Akum, and there were communities that did not accept the Isser Pas Akum. The Rambam writes that certainly one who's traveling where Pas Yisrael is not available could be more makel. But then the Rishonim make a distinction, and some in fact learn that distinction as Pshat in our Gemara, between Pas Palter and Pas Balabayis, and that it's the bread of a professional baker that they were lenient about, but not the bread of a balabayis, of an individual who bakes bread in his own home. In fact, some learn Pshat in our Gemara that was exactly what was being said. What was saying was that Pas Palter was already mutter. Another request was that not only should they be lenient on Pas Palter, but they should also be lenient on Pas Balabais. The Rashba says that only in a case where Pas Palter where Pas Yisrael is not available, should one be allowed to eat Pas Palter? However, the Rashba says that if the particular type of quality of bread that one wants to eat is not available from a Jewish baker, that is enough of a heter to eat Pas Palter. Drama says that even that we can be mako, that even when Pas Yisrael is equally available to Pas Palter, we could eat Pas Palter. Certainly, however, the Shulchan Aruch says that during the Seder Shimei Tshuva, we should be machmer, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that in his community, they were machmer on Pas Palter, only eating Pas Palter when there was no other option. So Rav Shmuloi says to Rebbe, "Bimeinu tater afas apas." In your days, we should even be lenient on Pas Amalek. So Yehuda Nasiya says, if I will introduce a heter on Pas Palter, Imkein Karle Bezdin Sharia, I will be called the Bezdin that is overly lenient. And the Farshim explains, so what is the problem with being called a Bezdin that's overly lenient? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that people will begin to learn that one can be very lenient in all halacha, and certainly that is not what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would want to see happen. Another pshat that I saw is that people won't, on the contrary, people will not pay proper attention to his aterim, because they'll say that he's always mako, even when the halacha doesn't allow one to be mako. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was saying, in order for what I say to be respected and have validity, I have to be careful not to overuse the haterim that I give. The Tanan, for we learned, hey, Rabbi Yosef ben Yezer ish tzrei del ayel kamsa. He said regarding a grasshopper which is called ayel kamsa, all of these issues will be discussed at length in our shir, dochen that they are considered a kosher grasshopper. Val mashkem beim mit b'chaya, on the liquids that were found in the Beis HaMitbchayim. The Beis HaMitbchayim was a special place in the Azorah. It was directly opposite the northern wall of the Mizbeach, that the liquids, the blood and water, which are found over there, are tahar. Val the yikra of Lamasa, and if somebody comes in contact, somebody touches a mace, that he's misaf, that he's tamei. And because he said these three haterim, and of course soon we'll try to understand why they're all considered haterim and what they were, Karolei, he was called Yosef Sharia. So Yehuda Nasi was saying, in order to avoid that I should be considered the same, I can't introduce this heter on Pas Akum, because that will be the on Pas Palter, because that will be the third heter that I will have given. Amalei, in fact he says, Hosom, Shara Talas. Rabbi Yosef ben Yezer had three heterim. Umar Shara Chada. And you have only given one heter, the heter on the oil. And he says to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Vishari Mar Chada Chrita. Even if you'll introduce one more leniency, Akata Tartu Dahavian, it'll only be a total of two heterim. And as we just said, you're not considered a bezdin that's overly makel until you introduce three haterim. Amalei, anosh rayachrita. So he said, there is another situation that I was already makel in. Maihi, what is that case? The Tanan, because we learned in a Mishnah Masech to Gittin, if somebody says to his wife, Zeh gitech im leibasi mikan ad shnei masa chodesh, if somebody says this get the divorce, separate us if I don't come within 12 months, and he dies within the 12 months, or meis b'tach shnei masa chodesh, he dies before the 12 months are up, the halach is in a get, it's not considered a valid get. V'tirani Allah, and we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Seinu hi tiru al nasei, there are Rabbi Seinu who were lenient in allowing her to get married based on this get. And why would they be so anxious to rely on the get? As we've discussed many times, because they wanted to avoid the woman from having to have yibum or chalitza. Let's say it was a situation where a husband wasn't, where a husband, they didn't have any children. Vamina, and trying to understand this price that says that Rabbi Nisenu were lenient with the sket, we identified Ma Rabbi Nisenu, who exactly are the Rabbi Nisenu. Am Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Beidina the Sharim Mishcha. It was the Bezdin of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was known as the Beidina the Sharim Mishcha, because he was the Bezdin that was lenient about oil as we started today's Shia. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yossi, Damar, who says, Zmanish Ashtar Mechir Chalav. The fact that the get has a date, the date proves that he wanted the divorce to be effective from the date of the get, not from a previous date. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halachi is that one, if he wrote in his get, mehayoyim, that the get should be effective retroactively from today, im leibasi, or if he wrote the language, me'achshav, that the get should be effective retroactively from now, even if he included a stipulation that the get should be, that the get should only be valid based on that stipulation, the halacha is that the get is a kosher get. Here too, it's considered a kosher, that's why here the date of the get is a raya that the get really, the husband wanted should be effective from the date that the get was written. So the Mefarshim ask, as we learned in Masech Gittin, the halacha is that a get must have a date. So ask the Mefarshim, how could the Gemara suggest that the date of the get is an indication? How could Rav Yossi suggest that the date of the get is an indication that that's when he wants the get to be effective? How could that be pshat? He wrote the date because he must write a date. So the Mashah answers that to be considered a kosher get with a date, you could just write the month or the year. The fact that he wrote not just the month and the year, but the fact that he wrote the date is indication that he wants the get to be effective from that date. But then I'm afraid I'm asking another question. We are saying that our Gemara is a raya, that the Yehuda is saying that I was the one that was a makel. Why was I the one that was a makel? Because I said that the get is valid in such a case. Ask the Mefarshim, it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's heter, it was already the heter of Rabbi Yossi. So why are we attributing this to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah? It's Rabbi Yossi's heter. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is concerned that there are too many heterim being attributed to him. This is not his heter. It's a heter already that's here from before. So I saw that the Mefarshim answer that Rabbi Yossi's heter is only said in a situation where the get is only written in a situation where the tonight that we're discussing is written into the body of the get. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah was even more makel. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah was makel that even if the get is a written document and the get is a written document and the stipulation was said orally, still he'll say Zmanish Ashtar Mechichalov to say that he meant that the get should be effective from the date that it was written. The Mefarshim also ask that as far as Hilchas Tanoim are concerned, some of the halachas we've learned about Tanoim, about valid stipulation, don't seem to be followed in our Gemara. Because our Gemara seems to be teaching us that the get is a valid get, if he said Zegitech, im loibasi. Now Mefarshim ask that we have one rule is that you have to have a Tanai kofel. For Tanai to be considered a valid Tanai, it has to be said in a Tanai kofel, and here there is no Tanai kofel. So again, many of Rishonim explained that the point of our Gemara is not to teach us Hilchas Tanoim. The point of our Gemara is to teach us halachas of, and the point of our Gemara is to teach us the halacha of Gzmanish Ashtar Mechir Chalav. Others say that if it goes back to what we said a moment ago. If one verbalizes his tanai, then you don't have to have a tanai kofel. Similarly, they ask, here we have a situation of zagitech im loibasi. The halach is you have to have a tanai koidun lamaisa. Again, the same teretz, some say that we're now learning hilchus tanoim. Others explain, again, by a verbal tanai, there may be different rules than the rules that apply not by a verbal tanai. Continues the Gemara. Vamrav ach bread of chibaba, Rabbi Yehuda Nasir hayra, Rabbi Yehuda Nasir paskin that she could get remarried based on the sket. All the people of his days did not agree to him. Kol shatoi means that the people that lived in his time didn't agree to him. Vamrilay and others say kol siatoi that they didn't, that his colleagues did not agree with him. Mefarshim here too discuss if they didn't agree with him, and this wasn't considered one of the accepted heterim, so then we don't have any more four cases, another case for Yehuda Nasir. And again, the point of our Gemara was to find a case. Rabbi Yehuda Nasir said that if he would be matter on the past palter, this would be the third case. But if the people didn't agree with him, so we don't have three cases. So Mefarshim explained that according to these Manda Omrim, there's another case that the Yehuda Nasir was referring to. And that's the case of a sandal. We know that the Torah says, and we always emphasize when we say this, that this is the din da deraisa, but we don't follow this way, bizman hazeh, that a woman has a baby boy, she's tamei for the first 7 days, and she's tar for the next 33 days. If she has a girl, she's tamei for 14 days, and she's tar for the next 66 days. There was a situation where a fetus was born, a viable fetus was born, it was a boy, and along with that boy was born a fetus that looked like a sandal, a completely deformed fetus that one could not determine if its gender, if it was a boy or a girl. So one opinion is, we go l'chumra. So on one hand we treat it like a girl and the mother is tamei for 14 days, and on the other hand, we treated like a boy, and she's only tar for the balance till the 33rd day. Rabbi Yehuda Nasir, on the other hand, said that a sandal is not considered a fetus, and the child born is not reckoned in any way as a child, that there should be consideration of its gender and its existence as far as Hilchos Tumah and Tahara are concerned. That's what's replaced if we don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda Nasir regarding his psak, regarding his banish shtar mechiyah chalav. But the Gemara continues to discuss this situation, this din of banish shtar mechiyah chalav. Amalei Rabbi Elazar lahi saba, ki sharisuhu. According to the man the Amr that says that we can rely on the banish shtar, that even though the get, again, the condition, the stipulation of the get was that if I don't come back within 12 months, then the get shouldn't be a valid get. And he died before the 12 months are up. The Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda Nasir say that the get is a valid get because we say Zmanish Hashtar Mechichalov. He meant that the get should be valid retroactively to the date of its writing. Not did he mean that it should only be valid after the 12 months are up. Because if he meant that the get should only be valid after the 12 months are up, at that point he's no longer alive. And the halacha is, ein get l'achamisa, says the Gemara, kishrisua, in a case where he died during these 12 months, la'alta shirisua, is she immediately allowed to get remarried without jibim chalitza? The layasi, because we know for sure that he's not coming back, do we have to wait for after the 12 months? The Kaimlai Tanai, because the Tanai in the get was that he's going to have to wait until after 12 months. So the Rishonim all ask, why should she have to wait till the 12 months are up? We know for sure that he's not coming back. Unfortunately, he passed away. So Tosfos in our Gemara says that Chazal made a gzeira that in this case she shouldn't be allowed to get remarried gzera for a case where, because even though he died, gzera for a case where he didn't die. Another teretz, Taisha says this teretz actually in Masechta Gittin, is because there are going to be people that are aware of his death, but they're not aware, there are people that are aware of the get, but they're not aware of his death. And if they see that this woman gets married before the 12 months are up, they're going to be concerned as to why. Another teretz that the Rant suggests is because the husband obviously is in control of the writing of the get. And it's obvious that this husband did not want his wife to get remarried until 12 months are up. Therefore, she may not get remarried contrary to her husband's wishes. Her husband didn't want that the get should be effective until the end of 12 months. The nafkamina between these pshatim, explained the achroinim, will be in a case where the woman did get married based on this get. According to Tosfos' explanations, this is only a knas. And because it's only a knas, it's only a gzera, we could be, if she did rely on the get, she will, the second marriage will be considered a valid marriage. However, according to the opinions that the issue here is a, that the get is not valid because the husband didn't want the get to be valid until 12 months are up, then the halacha is that even with the eved, the get cannot be relied on. There's a fascinating Yerushalmi that answers this question. The Yerushalmi's answer is that the reason she, the Gemara is questioning that she may not get married until 12 months are up, because we always have to be concerned that perhaps there'll be tchias hameisim, and the husband will come back before 12 months are up. And therefore, because of that, we have to wait to be sure that he's not coming back and that the get should be considered a valid get. The question that I saw the Achroidim ask on that Yerushalmi is, if so, every time when a husband passes away, why would his wife be allowed to get remarried? We should always be concerned that Baruch Hashem, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, and because there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, the wife should not be allowed to get remarried because the husband's coming back. So the Achronim answer that the first Mishnah actually, Masechta Gittin, teaches us that the halacha is that a woman becomes mutter to get remarried if her husband dies or gives her a get. So the moment a husband dies, even if Baruch Hashem, they will be tchias hameisim, it doesn't change the reality that she has to get. It doesn't change the reality that she has to, that she now becomes mutter, and therefore, when a husband dies, the marriage terminates. So again, ask the Gemara. Amar Belazala Husaba Kishirisihu. When you say that this woman is allowed to get remarried, La'ata Shirisua, is she immediately allowed to get remarried? Deloyasi, because we know he's not coming back. We have to wait 12 months. Doikama tonight for the. That's when the tonight that he made in the get, that if he doesn't come within 12 months, the get will be a valid get. Must we wait for that? Ask the Gemara, for Tibai Lamas Nisan, why is this question asked specifically on what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rabbi Yossi said? Why don't we ask it on what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, the Tanan, if somebody says, Areza Gitech Me'achshov, the get should be valid from today. Emloi Basi Mekan Achnei Masachaydish, and he dies within the 12 months, the halacha is have a get. It's considered a valid get. Because the tanai was fulfilled. And the question again was, la'alta have a geta? Is it immediately a get? Because we know he's not coming, and therefore we don't have to wait for the end of the 12 months. Adima, lachashnei masachadish, do we have to wait for the 12 months, the kaimle tonight, for the tonight to be completely fulfilled? So why are we asking the question on what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and Rabbi Yosi ben Eliezer said? Why is this question not asked on the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara Anachanami. The question could have been asked on the Mishnah. I'm sure the Havis Bahumanyana. The person who asked this question was there in the Bezdin, as Bezdin was deliberating over this question regarding what you didn't see a paskin, and therefore it was the appropriate time to ask the question. But indeed, the question could have been asked just as well on the Mishnah. Amr Abaya says, Abaya, hakol moedim l'chashatei tzicham minatika. Everybody agrees that if a husband says, this is your get, when the sun rises, what he meant was l'chinach k'kamala. He meant that the get should be valid when the sun rises. And if therefore, if chas v'sham chimayis belayla, if he dies before the sun comes up, he dies during the night, it's a situation of get lachamisahu, and it's not a valid get. Amanas, in a situation where somebody says, on the condition, shetaytzi chamen v'teika, so says the Gemara, ma'achshav kamala, everybody will agree that he meant me'achshav, that the get should be valid retroactively from now, and therefore v'chimayis belayla, if he dies during the night, havad tanahu, his stipulation is being fulfilled, v'get mechaim, who is considered a get because the get was given from when the get was written, and when the get was written, he was still very much alive. Rav Huna, and this is in line with what Rav Huna said, because I'm Rav Huna teaches us, kala oimer manas, whoever says al manas, ka'oimer ma'achshav dami, it's halachically considered as if he said it from now. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain, this is pshat what the pasuk says, es habrocha asher tishmun. The Mefarshim explain, asher is the same words as al manas. As a bracha, asher tishmun, as soon as you accept upon yourself to do what Hashem says, kol ha'im al manas, ka'im ma'achshav dami, is the bracha. We will immediately receive the bracha. V'saklala, however, chas v'shalom, when it comes to klala, it's only im lo tishmu, only when you actually don't listen. Meruba merida toiva merida peronius, bracha we get immediately, as soon as we accept upon ourselves to do what Hashem says. Klala, chas v'shalom, is only after we don't do what Hashem says. Elonai lechaku, where do we have a machlaikis, says the Gemara, in a situation where the words imtaitse were used. Remuda nasi sovla krabiyosi, so when you have the word im, so the question is, how do we look at it? Do we look at it that Zmanish Shtam Mechichalov and the get is valid retroactively, as if he would have said Hayoim or Miachshiv or not? Rav Yehuda Nasi Sovel Rav Yosi Dom Zmanish Shtam Mechichalov Vavalei Kmayoyim Imati and the get is a valid get or Kmachshiv Imati. Rabbanan Leslu De Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda don't agree with Rav Yosi. Vavalei Kizeh Gitech Emesi Greider. It's the simplest case where the get is considered a get only if I die. And he wants the get only to be valid after he passes away. And as we've been learning, ain't get lachamisa, get cannot be valid after the husband passes away. Gufa. So we learned earlier in our shir that Hey Joisi ben Yeza is Tzrei Dal Ayel Kamsa. He spoke about this type of grasshopper, that dochen that is tar. Furthermore, he said, Vamashka Beismet Bechaya, on the liquids that are found in the base of Shechit and the base of Migdosh, that they too are dochen that are tar. So the Yaakov L'Misa, if somebody comes in contact with a corpse, Misov, he is Tamei, the Karav L'Yosef Sharia, he was called Yosef Sharia. So Gemara analyzes each one of these cases. My Yosef Kamsa, what is the case, my Ayel Kamsa, what does Ayel Kamsa mean? Rapapa says that the dispute that Yosef Ben Yezer had was regarding Osheshiva, the type of grasshopper called Osheshiva, whereas Rav Chiya bar Ula Mishmei de Ola Amar that it was a Sasiba. It was called a Sasiba. Rav Papa Amar, it was a Sheshiva. What does a Sheshiva mean? Says the Gemara. Kamifki, because they're arguing about Rosh Ha'aruch. A grasshopper with a long head, is it considered a kosher grasshopper or not? To explain, as the Gemara explains in Masech Techulin, there are four grasshoppers that the Torah teaches us are kosher grasshoppers. They are the Arba, Solom, Chargal, and Chagaf. The Gemara in Masech Techulin says that the four common denominators that they all have is that they have four legs, four wings, two jumping legs, and wings that cover most of the insect's body. Those are the four common denominators that they all have. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin, however, brings a machloikis if there's another common denominator, and that is there a common denominator that they have? Is there a common denominator that they have an oval head? Because this yeshiva, which we are now discussing, does not have a oval head, as an elongated head. So the Man D'Amar that says that a grasshopper, to be considered a kosher grasshopper, has to have a oval head, will hold the Sheshiva is not a kosher grasshopper. Whereas Rav Yosef ben Yezer said that as long as it has the other four characteristics, the fact that it has an elongated head, not an oval head, it's still considered a kosher grasshopper. Masover, Rosh Aruch, so those that argue Yosef ben Yezer held a grasshopper with a long head is not a kosher grasshopper. Or Masover, whereas Yosef ben Yezer held Rosh Aruch, even if it has an elongated head, not an oval head, mutter, it's a kosher grasshopper. However, Rav Chiya bar Ami Mishmei Deula Amar Susibel, that the argument was over a Susibel. Because he says, B'Rosh Aruch Kul Am Lo Plig Dasar. Everybody agrees that a grasshopper that has a long head, not an oval head, is not a kosher grasshopper. V'Hacha, what was the machloikus between Yosef ben Yezer and the others? The machloikus was regarding a situation of Knuff of Chayfiv as Rubim Alidei Tchakam Evki. As we said a minute ago, one of the requirements to be considered a kosher grasshopper is that the wings cover most of the insect's body. But the question is, when we say so, does it have to be very obvious that it covers most of the body? Or as long as it covers most of the body, exactly, it's enough. As long as it covers it, it's enough. That's Yosef ben Yezer's opinion. Or Masover, whereas those that disagree with Yosef ben Yezer hold Ruba de Minkavinen, it has to be very noticeable. I did see that the Mepharshim discuss, there's a question, we know that for an animal to be a kosher animal, the two simonim have to be slaughtered, roiv, the majority of them. And the question is, does it also over there have to be, like here, the Gemara is suggesting, according to some opinions, Ruba de Minker, a noticeable roif? Do we learn one issue from the other? And the Mepharshim suggest that these two halachas do not actually travel together. Because what roif accomplishes by a grasshopper and what the roif accomplishes by shechita are totally two different things. The roif of a grasshopper is a simen. Which grasshopper is kosher? The grasshopper, the most of its body is covered by the wing. That's not what makes it kosher. It's just a simen if it is or isn't kosher. Whereas by shechita, it's not a simen. It's not a sign. It's not an indication if it's kosher or not. It's what makes it kosher. And therefore, the roiv of shechita and the roiv of that we're discussing here are two very different roivs, and one cannot be learned from the other. The next thing that we learned from Yosef ben Yezer was that the mashkebei mitchayu were dochen, that the liquids that were found in the slaughtering area in the Beis Hamikdash are tahor, my dochen, Rav amadochen mamish, they're completely tahor, v'shmul amadochen l'tamei acherim, they don't have the ability to spread tumah further, aval tumas atzmon yesh behem, they themselves are tamei. And the Gemara explains the machlokes. Rav amadochen mamish, Rav is of the opinion that these beverages are completely tar, because Rav is of the opinion that tumas mashkin drabonin. The tumah of mashkin is only a tumah drabonin. The chigaz drabonin tumah. When did Chazal say tumah? Only be mashkin the alma. Only mashkin, not in the Beis Hamikdash. Abba be mashkin be mitchaya. The liquids in the Beis Hamikdash, where Chazal were not anxious to spread tumah in the Beis Hamikdash, there Loi gozru tumah, loi gozru rabban, Chazal did not make a gzeira. V'shmul amar, Shmul on the other hand holds dochm l'tam l'cherim, they only don't have the ability to spread tumah, because ava tumas atchinesh behem, they themselves are tamei, because Shmul is of the opinion, kesavet tumas mashkin daraisa. and only l'tama achayrim, the ability for mashkin to spread tumah further, that's the drabonim. Chi goz rabonim, when did rabonim make gzeira? Strictly the mashkin the alma. The mashkin made b'chaya, but the mashkin that are found in the butchering place, like gozru, they didn't make a gzeira. The next thing we learned that he's, the next gzeira that he made was, val di yakov l'meisa mesav, that whoever comes in contact with a mace is tamei. V'karav la Yosef Sharia, and he was called Yosef Sharia. Asked the Gemara, Yosef Asr Bailei, what he's saying here is an Isser, not a Heter. And as Drushash explains, he did say Heterim, as we've been learning in our Shir. But it's in what the Gemara finds puzzling is specifically in the place where we find that he holds, in, specifically in the place where he says Isser, that's when they decide to call him Yosef Sharia. If we wanted to call him Yosef Sharia, we should have given him that title when he's mentioning an Isser, mentioning a Heter, not when he's specifically mentioning an Isser. Void, furthermore, asked the Gemara, this din that he's saying, that somebody who comes in contact with a mace is Tamei, that's a din d'oraisa. D'ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'chal she yigal p'nei yisod v'chalera b'cherv v'mace, is Tamei. Answers the Gemara, what he was saying was a heter. Because what he was saying was, the yikv l'mace m'sav, only if you touch the mace itself, will you be Tamei. Because mid-oraisa, he was saying, the yikrav Tamei, only if you touch the mace, will you be Tamei? The Yikra but the Yikrav, but if you touch somebody who's touching a mace, you are Tamei. You are Tahar. For us, Inu, and the Rabbanan went and said, I feel the Yikra but the Yikrav. That not only if you touch a mace, are you Tamei, but even if you touch somebody who touched a mace, are you Tamei? For us, Iu, and Yossi ben Yezer came and said, no, that I'm going to follow din the Raisa, and that it only applies if somebody touches the mace, not if and if somebody touches somebody who touched the mace. Ask the Gemara, the Yikra but the Yikra of Nami Daraisahu. Somebody who touches somebody who's touching a mace is also Tamei Midaraisa. The Ksiv, because doesn't the Pasuk say V'chal Shiyigabai Atamei Yitma? Whoever touches somebody who's Tamei, whoever touches somebody who touched somebody who touched a mess is Tamei. So how could Yosef ben Yezer dispute this din? Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbana Kamei de Rova, Mishmei de Mazut Rebarei de Rav Nachman, Dom Mishmei de Rav Nachman, the Raisa, the Yikra B'di Yikra, mid the Raisa, if somebody touches somebody who touched a mess, B'chiburin, if he touches him while he's touching the mace, B'chiburin, that Reuven is touching a mace, and while Reuven is touching the mace, Shimon touches him, he's Tamei Shiva. Shloi b'chiburin, but if somebody touches somebody who touched the mace, that means Reuven touched the mace and became Tamei, and now he's no longer touching a mace, and now Shimon touches Reuven, Shloi b'chiburin, he's only Tamei Erev. He's only going to have Erev Shemesh. V'asi inu, however, the Chazal came and said that Gaza feels shloi b'chiburin to Meshiva. That even if you don't, if you touch the person who touched the mace, even if right now he's not touching the mace, you will be Tamei for all 7 days. V'asi iu, and Yosef ben Yezer came and said, no, ikma deraisa, he said that I'm going to follow din deraisa and follow the distinction between chiburim and shloi b'chiburin. Ask the Gemara the Raisa of Mahi, where do we find a distinction between Chiburim and Shloi B'Chiburim? The Ksiv, Hanegei B'meis L'chol Nefesh Adam V'Tamei Shivas Yomim. So it says that he's Tamei for 7 days. The Ksiv, and then the Pasuk, if you touch the mace. And then the Pasuk goes on to say, V'chol Shana Yigabai Tamei Yitma. If you touch a person who touched the mace, you will be Tamei for 7 days. But yet there's another Pasuk, the Ksiv, that says v'ksiva nefesh negasbit titma na'arif, you only tamei till the night. So how do we reconcile these psukim? One pasuk saying that you tamei for 7, and one pasuk saying that you only need hair of shemesh. The difference is kam b'chiburim shan shloi b'chiburim. If the person that is touching the mace and you touch that person while he's touching the mace, you will be tamei for 7 days. If he's not touching the mace at that point, you'll only require hair of shemesh. Interesting question that the Achronim debate. How do we understand the din of Chiburim? Do we understand the din of Chiburim teaching us that if you're touching a mace, that if you're touching a person who's touching a mace, the halacha looks at it as if you're touching the mace itself? Or does the halacha say a new din? That if you're touching a person who's touching a mace, then the halacha says that you should be tamei for 7 days for touching such an individual. What is the nafka mina between these two pshatim? Let's say somebody's going to be touching a half a kazayas of a mace, and at the same time, he's going to be touching that a person that's holding, that's touching a chatzi kazayas of a mace. So now we need to analyze it. If we say that it's considered like he's touching the mace itself, so this person, given that he's touching a half a kazayas of a mace, and he's touching a person who's touching a half a kazayas of a mace, and we say that the person who's touching a half a kazayas of a mace, the halacha views him as if he himself, the halacha views him as if he's touching a mace, so he's holding a kazayas of a mace. If, on the other hand, we say that this is a new din, that somebody who touches a person who's touching a mace becomes tamei, so he's not touched, so then these two chatzi kazayasim would not combine, and he would not be tamei. Amle Rava. So Rava said, Lava minulchu leititli beit kisurikim b'Rav Nachman. Don't hang empty pictures of Rav Nachman. What he's saying is, I don't agree that Rav Nachman explained Yosef ben Yehuda this way. And the Rishonim explained, it's not necessarily to say that Rav Nachman doesn't agree with this explanation. He just says it's difficult to say that that's what Yosef ben Yehuda meant, given the words of what he said. Hachram Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, what Yosef ben Yehuda was teaching us was that Sofak Tamim Rishus Rabim Hitalhem. That it was being makel that if you have a Sofak Tamim Rishus Rabim, even as he says when it's referring to a situation of Tumas Mace, you could be makel. Ask the Gemara, the halacha that Sofak Tamim Rishus Rabim is Tahor, that we know from Saita. Didn't we learn that from the din of a Saita? We know that halacha is that if a husband suspects his wife of being unfaithful, the halacha is that if he first does kinui, where he warns her not to come to seclude herself with him, and then the stira, where she does seclude herself with him in a private area, in a rishus hayachid, the halacha is she's considered a Saita. And until the May Saita proves that she's innocent, we consider her not innocent. So, since that halacha is strictly in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, here too, that's what we learned this halacha. Ma Saita is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Af Tuma is strictly in Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So, what did Yosef ben Yehuda teach us that we didn't know previously? Answers the Gemara. Ha'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said halacha ve'marikin, that even though the halacha is that sofik tomer rishus sayachid is tar, we don't publicize that halacha. Vasi'iyu v'ayrele iruye, he publicized it. The reason he publicized it, the Rishonim explained, because he was concerned that people won't notice halacha, they may come to be mitame, something that's really halachically tar, and they'll burn tuma when they shouldn't be burning tuma. And in order to avoid this, Yosef ben Yehuda felt it was a proper to publicize it, but most Rishonim of the opinion that Yosef ben Yehuda was not saying lechatchila to rely on that. Lechatchila, of course, one should avoid a suffix tumah. Tanya mehachir Yehuda ima kairetz notzlem. Yosef ben Yehuda set up beams. Ama adkan rishus rabim to let them know till where the rishus rabim is. Adkan rishus yochid to know where the halacha, where is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that Sofak Tomei is Tar, where is Rosh Hashanah Yochid that Sofak Tomei is Tar. Says the Gemara, Kaosel Kameid Rav Yanai, when people would come to Rav Yanai with a question of Sofak Tomei and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Amalahu, he would tell them, Hamai B'shkiyosadim Nahara, there's plenty of water in the river, Zilu Tfulu, he did not want to rely on Sofak Tomei and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim being Tar. Vashlokas, we learned in the Mishnah that food cooked by the Akum is Osir. That's the din of Bishul Akum. Menani Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Amrav Chiber Abba Amrav Yochanan, Amakra. The Pasuk says, as Klai Yisrael asked from Sicha in Melech HaMoiri, Oichel bekesef kazbireni v'chalti, or mayim bekesef titan li v'shosisi. I buy from you food and water. So the pasuk compares the food to the water. K'mayim, ma mayim shlo nishtanu, just like the water is water that didn't change from its raw state, af oichel shlo nishtanu, food that didn't change is permissible to buy from Akum, otherwise it may not be bought from the Akum. I saw very, very nice word. Why does the pasuk have to say that Klai Yisrael offered to pay? Of course they offered to pay. If they're not going to pay, their enemy certainly won't give them the food for free. So I saw a very nice pshat. We know that at that point, they were in the Midbar, and Klai Yisrael was eating mon. So they had plenty of food for free. And they were telling Sicha Melech HaMoiri, we're so anxious to live in peace with you, that we're willing to spend money to buy food, even though we have plenty of food available to us for free. Elmata asked the Gemara if that's the halacha chitin v'asun klayus, that if food was changed from its original state, there is a problem of bishlakim. Then if we have grain that was made into parched grain, hachinami desirin, it should be asur because it's parched, it's dried in an oven. V'chitay mahachinami v'tanya chitin v'asun klayus, it's not asur, it's mutarim el kamayim. It's not different than it was when it was created. Also food that wasn't changed from when it was created. El Me'ata asked the Gemara, if that's the case, chitin v'tachnon, grain that's ground, hachinami desurin, it should be asur, because it's no longer in its original state. If you'll suggest that grain that was ground is asur, if you grind grain, the mutter. Says the Gemara al Kamayim. Ma mayim shlo nishtanim v'riyosim al day or. It wasn't changed because of fire. Af oichel shlo nishtanim v'riyosim al day or. In other words, to be said to be asur for bishul akum, it has to be a situation where its form was changed, and the change came about through fire. Ask the Gemara midi arksiv. Does the Torah use the word fire? Elamid Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, the Isra Bishul Akum is Isra the Rabbanon. For Kra, the Pasuk is only in a smach de Ba'alma. In fact, Taisus here quotes Rabbeinu Tam that says that there were two Isurim originally. First, there was an Isra of Pas Akum, and then there was an Isra of Bishul Akum. Actually, on the contrary, Taisu says with the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the first there was an issue of Bishlakum, which is the issue that we are now discussing, and then there was an issue of Pasakum. Rashi seems to learn the first there was an issue of Pasakum, and then there was an issue of Bishlakum. Rand says that they both came at the same time, but as we discussed at the beginning of our shir, the Pas and Bishl, Pas was an issue that was not accepted in all communities, whereas Bishul Akum is an issa that's accepted in all communities. There was no heter on Bishul Akum, and now we will begin, Mitzvah Shem, to learn the sugyas, what actually constitutes Bishul Akum.